looking at two because it just didn't fit, in my opinion, in my mind. So today is National Noodle Day. Do you know what noodles are? Right? So then you get a lot of butter and I like the sauce. I like, you know, a good noodle with sauce and a lot of meat, and that's how I like my noodles. But some people like noodles with a lot of butter and salt and all the other stuff. So that's one thing I'd say. So then you get into pasta, right? And you have all the good pasta, and so it's a National Noodle Day. But then at the same time, it's National Plus Size Appreciation Day. And I was like, and I said to myself, okay, something doesn't add up here. Like, we should try to put those 2 days on different days, okay? I've dieted. How many times you say, okay, I'm going to try to watch what I eat, and you try. So I got into like, okay, these just don't add up. So I got into some diet jokes because I know you look at, okay, I'm going to go on a diet. I'm going to try to lose some weight. And, so there's all these diet jokes out there, but so after a month of dieting, all I lost was 30 days. How many people have been there? I've been there. I keep trying to lose weight, but it keeps finding me. And that's a standard one. That always happens, like, you know, so. And then I'm a light eater. As soon as the lights go on, I start eating. So, you know, and I think, sometimes food is so good to eat, but when I saw the National Noodle Day and, appreciate plus size appreciation day, it just kind of made me giggle. So, but anyhow, we're taking this journey when we stepped back to look at the power of God. That's the journey we're on the next couple weeks, just to step back and look at this power of who God says He is, because our society is telling us, is God really even there? And you hear it, and sometimes it's like our human nature, right? So I heard a story this past week of a family devastated. So it was in North Carolina, and the mom's 7-year-old son, I'm not sure if you heard this story, I guess he was trying to save the mom or help the mom. And so he's 7 years old, and the water came in and just, I guess he held on and tried to help as much as he could, and the water just poof, took him. 7 years old. And she said the last thing she heard him screaming was for Jesus. You know, and we look at that and we think, how many people, okay, now I'm stepping back as a dad and now as a grandfather, and you hear this little boy crying out in the name of Jesus for, you know, help, and he dies. You know, those are the types of things that we look at and we deal with and we struggle with. And of course, people that are atheists and people that have a problem with Christians and like, see, your God doesn't exist. He didn't help and save this 7-year-old boy. And we see it with family members. You know, why did this person die at such and such an age? Or why did this person get this? And we have those thoughts of God, why didn't you save that boy? Honestly, I don't know. Could he have? Sure, he could have, right? And I always say, well, the Lord has something planned. The Lord has plans. God has plans. Things happen, things we don't like to happen. There's awful things that happen in our world just from the cause of human sin that has started so many years ago, thousands and thousands of years, and here we are. But you look at that and you wonder, okay, God, are you as powerful as you tell, as this Bible tells me that you are? And I was sitting back in the prayer room. When I turn on the lights, I always sit down in the chair there, and I pray for the church, and I pray for hearts, and I pray for people, and I pray. When I'm not walking around here, I'm praying for, you know, in that room. And I was looking at all the books on the shelf. And by the way, Karen, good job on, like, you even have those books that went back. I didn't realize that they were even in, like, numerical order for I looked at that and I was like, Karen is detailed. They're like even in the number, I would have just shoved them in there, like find a book. But I looked at all those books and I thought, you know, all those books are breaking down this Bible right here. And so many times we get all these thoughts and all this stuff and these people that say, well, I know that I'm going to explain this. And we look at they pull apart the scripture and it really comes down to all this stuff and information. It comes down to what God says. And right here, like, you know, church books and Christianity and books on Christianity and books on faith. And there's a lot of stuff that's in the midst. But what about who is our God? The power of our God. So let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, help us as we continue this journey of looking at your power. And we know that there's a lot of stuff in our world that really doesn't make sense to us because we know that you're a loving God. We know you are the God of power and of strength and of all creation. And so many times we know it and we forget and we doubt and we fall back. And many times don't look at you as we should. I know I don't. And Lord, help us this morning and in this next couple of weeks just to continue to look at your power and speak to us. Have your spirit speak to us and show us how majestic you are. And that's my prayer. In your name we pray, amen. Genesis. Once again, chapter 1, which is the power of God's voice is what we're looking at this morning. As we looked at last week, the power of just, you know, of God, power of the beginning of God, that everlasting to everlasting, how can we contain and try to put that in any type of box? We cannot. And people try to, and people say, well, God isn't real. And I heard it this past week from people. It boggles my mind on our society, but yet I know that, and we know that evil is real, and evil is around us every day. So we're going to start at looking at God's creation of what God said. Because many people, as we know, in schools today, they don't teach what the Bible says at all. And actually this was at the end, but I pulled this out. I'll probably use it again because I wanted to start with this and I'll probably finish with it. So last night I pulled out some AI. I just went online and I typed in what AI says about creation. And I think I typed in there is evolution, the theory of, you know, Darwin. Is evolution true? And it came back and said, yeah, man, evolution, this is what it said. It determines evolution as a fact. AI determines that this is historical. This is a fact and a theory. It's AI. So that's what our generation is being told. And I'm not sure when some of you are in school, were you still being taught creation, right? Maybe both. When I was in school, you didn't really hear creation. You heard all evolution. And to me, I was always like, are you for real? And the problem is they are for real. People are for real. Why? Because we don't understand the power. Society doesn't understand this power. So Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. And God said, let there be light. There was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. He called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Verse 6, all he did was say this. We talked about God's beginning last week and end, and that enormous amount of energy that God must have, right? Because to be the existence of the universe, right? Because we looked at just what it would take to power Microsoft and bringing back Three Mile Island online, just for the, of what's needed for that power. This power is all God spoke. All he did was speak. God said that immense power. God said, verse 6, and God said, let there be an expanse between the waters to separate from water. So God made the expanse and separated water under the expanse from water above it. And it was so. And God called the expanse sky, and there was evening and there was morning the second day. Verse 9, and God said, you know, the power of God's voice, and God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear. And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered water he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, so that people could make pasta and noodles. It doesn't say that, I added it. But since it's National Pasta Day, that's what we make it out of, right? According to the various kinds. And it was so. God said it, and it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kind, and trees bearing fruit according to their kind. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening and there was morning the third day. And God said, let there be lights. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth and to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening and there was morning the fourth day. And God said in verse 20, let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea, and everything living and moving, every moving thing with which the water teems according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number, and fill the water in the sea, and let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning the fifth day. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, the wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse 26. Then God said, let us make in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created both of them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth, and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and to all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made. That's big. God saw all that he had made. And we step back and say, how many days? 6 days. The power of God's voice. So, what, if we look at some certain things, did you ever hear the Hoover Dam? It's one of the most, what did they say? I forget what year it was, but one of the most modern, engineering feats of all times. It's still like recognized as this great thing that was built by the skill of humans, and it took how many years it took to build one dam to block the Colorado River, to supply water, to control flooding, and to provide electricity. It took 5 years to build. It took 5 years. The Hoover Dam was built, and before it was even started to be built, what did they have to do? They had to sit there and they had to put engineering behind it. They had to look at all sorts of stuff, and they started all this information, all the stuff that goes into to make things, to calculate things out, to make sure things would hold, to make sure concrete, cement would cure, and all these things, and the cost that went behind it. And people started to look at this. And it was such a big expense at the time that there's six companies that actually came together to form one company to make sure that they would have enough money and power to get this thing built like the government had engineered or had done. So so these six companies, they had 21,000 workers, 21,000 people to build a dam. 21,000 people. That's a lot of people. 5 years. It took 5 million for steel to block this off between Arizona and Nevada. And it provides, you know, the flood control and water and all this other stuff. To block one river, it took 21,000 people over 5 years. Our God, and this is where people say, see, God could not have created the world in 6 days. Well, it took 21,000 men to make this feat of this Hoover Dam that it could hold back all this water. 21,000 men. Well, it tells me, what's it tell you? It tells me that, man, if God can say something and it be done, when it took from 21,000 men to block off one stream, one river, and it took God speaking to put the existence of creating that river, of creating that earth, and creating the materials that those 21,000 men used to make cement and to make the reinforced rebar that went into the cement, and all the labor and everything else. It took God not even a second. I don't even know that time frame of what that could do. That's what it took our God to create all that stuff that these guys put into 21,000 men over 5 years to build a dam. An apple tree. Let's just step back in a simple apple tree. An apple tree, from seed to produce fruit, is 7 through 10 years. You remember Johnny Appleseed? You remember that story? I heard he's a little weird, but I don't know all the story, but he walked around a little thing on his, like the pot on his head, and I guess they have stories up at Weaver's Orchard, I think, that they do these stories on some, I don't know if it's Johnny Appleseed or whatever, but apples, right? But an apple tree from seed to bearing fruit was 7 to 10 years. God created that seed. God put those plants into the existence by what he said. And so many people can't grasp that. Why? They can't grasp it because we hear, well, God isn't real, or this never could have happened. Well, it could not have happened in some people's mind because they don't have the faith. They don't want to understand that God is such a big God that he has this power. He's from everlasting to everlasting. And what did it tell us back in Ephesians? That we're supposed to rely on the mighty hand of the Lord as we put on the armor of God. And that's what we have as believers, as Christians, that are supposed to be on us, because it's under the mighty power of God from the beginning. Everlasting to everlasting is God's power. God's power in what he says to create all these things that he has created. As you get down and you continue to look, we look at Psalms 33. We're going to read 6 through 9. 33, 6 through 9. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the water of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke, and it came to be. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. Man, our society today, and even our churches, and you look now, the time of evolution and the Darwin theory started to take root. People today, even in our churches now, well, you know, it wasn't 6 days. I mean, that's impossible. It wasn't 6 days. The Hebrew word for a day is yom. I was laughing about that. I won't get down that rabbit trail, but it means the Hebrew word used in the beginning of Genesis, yom. It means from sunrise to sunset. It doesn't mean a 1,000-year period. It doesn't mean that God spoke about something and then evolution took place and all of a sudden this little amoeba came out of the water. It doesn't mean that. The word used in Hebrew that has been studied by the Hebrew people way before even America, way before Darwinism, way before all this stuff was ever into existence, that was the word used by the Hebrew people talking about the God of everlasting to everlasting, talking about the God of creation. And the word that was used was from sunrise to sunset, the hours of the day that are warm. That's the translation in Hebrew. That's the word. It means one day. Our God is so powerful that he can create these things in one day. Praise God for that, right? Because when we start, we're not going here yet, but when we start looking at them, our salvation, like how can you believe, if you cannot hold to what Scripture says in the first chapter of the Bible, and there's churches and people that have been, they warp themselves into this thought, because going back to that spiritual trickery, well, you know, hey, this could have happened this way, and we look at, but, you know, well, the when Moses wrote that, he might have been drinking that day, and he might have not really meant yom as one day. So he might have been a little bit disturbed that. And you hear all sorts of stuff, but the people today, they cannot understand or fathom the power of what's in God's voice. The power that is in God's voice. The power that He has for people, for believers, just even for salvation when we can start looking at that power. Our God is so powerful, so immensely powerful that we forget. Even if we die, even if we die, God has a purpose for that, because we are His creation. We're not, He's not our creation. You know, sometimes that's what we think. Well, God, we created Him, and God, this is what I want right now because this is what I need. And we try to push God into something. And I've never seen that happen. So as we step back and you look at that spiritual trickery of what's even taking place in the churches. Churches now, they would say, well, yeah, Darwinism could have happened this way, and things evolved and things have changed because our churches and because people are scared to go up against society. They don't want to be looked at as being the oddball. I love being looked at as the oddball. I'll tell you, I really do love it. I love when people think, that guy's like psycho. Praise God, I'm a psycho then, because it's kind of fun being on the psycho side. But anyhow, to love God, who are God, if we truly understand and hold to who God says He is, just like we see in Scripture. Remember, to go back to understand the power of God, we have to about himself and what has been said about the writers who were prophets and the writers who were apostles and the writers who put this into word form for us to understand who God was. And it even goes then, when we talk about the beginning, when we talk about the creation of and the power of God's voice, it really comes down to if we have faith or not. Because if you do not have faith in even the first chapter of this Bible, well, then it all goes away. If you can't have faith that God is so powerful that He created the world and created the earth and created the water and created the apples and created the teams of fish and jellyfish and all things that God has created, the horseshoe crabs. Jen and I, another confession, so Jen and I snuck out. I was looking at the weather. I said, hey, hon, I'll take you to the beach this weekend. We just snuck away for a night, went down to the beach because, you know, we love the beach. And there's all these horseshoe crabs all over the beach. Horseshoe crabs. What's the purpose of a horseshoe crab? I don't know. Do we eat? Has anyone eaten a horseshoe crab? I've never eaten a horseshoe crab, but they're like, that's one of those things that teems in the water that God has created. An elephant is, before we go to the elephant, a baby from conception to birth is how long? Justin, how long is that? That's 9 months, right? So it takes 9 months for this creation to be perfected in the womb. That womb that God has created. That process of creation, procreation, the fertilization of an egg, and a growth of a baby in 9 months. 9 months. God made the earth and all things in it in 6 days. 6 days. And I believe it. Some people might not. I believe it. I hold it to be true. It takes an elephant, the largest maverick, an elephant, up to 18 to 22 months for a baby elephant to, from conception, from an elephant, to grow in the womb of an elephant. And they say because it's so large and its brain is so detailed that it takes that long. And people have studied this. Once again, so you can't tell me that all those things have happened by natural selection of evolution process. It's impossible. It's impossible that those things could happen just out of the course of a natural without things being set up by God. That spiritual trickery comes in. We look at Hebrews chapter 11. Once again, my favorite chapter in all scripture, and I just love this chapter, because it's the faith chapter, and I said it before, but verse 3 here says, by faith, Hebrews 11, verse 3, by faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. Our God is so powerful, and yet so many times as people, we fear. We fall into a fear stage, right? We fall into, I don't want someone to think that I'm a Christian, or I don't want someone to think that I actually believe of creation, because that's not socially acceptable, or that's not acceptable by people that I hang around with. Talking to somebody that their family members, they're kind of like the closet Christian. The one person is a Christian and open on their beliefs in Christ and have served the Lord their entire life. And then they have this family member who's a closet Christian. And they said, well, they called them, say, hey, let's go out. Can we meet together? We haven't been together with all the family for a long time. And they're like, sure, we can get together. And on a side call, they're like, hey, just so, you know, don't bring up anything about Christianity. And they're like, what are you talking about? So do you have these? Well, it doesn't fit into our family, because all our family doesn't believe of who Christ is, or our whole family doesn't believe what the Bible says. So don't bring that up. But you're a Christian. I know I'm a Christian, but so you'd rather not tell your relatives that God is the truth and that Jesus Christ, even though you have denied him before, loves you. And it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter that you've sinned. It doesn't matter that Jesus actually loves you. And there's a chance for you. You still have time to come to Jesus for salvation. Don't you think you'd want to be telling your family members that every day, all the time you see them? Because it's heaven and hell. When we're done, we're done. You're going to hell, you're going to heaven. Where are you going to go? God is the creator. We were in New York years ago, and this is when I first really noticed this. You know, there's certain times when you notice stuff about how life works, and you might be on a trail. So a couple of those things that have really affected my life. One of those was, and this isn't talking about creation, but one of those that affected me. I was at Liberty. I was studying in the ministry, right? And I loved people. And yeah, did I make mistakes? Sure, everyone makes mistakes. But so I loved people, and I really wanted to tell people about Jesus. And so there was this group going down. That's when I met Jen at the time. And they were coming from Westchester with Campus Crusade going down to spring break. So I was like, okay, yeah, pick me up in DC and I'll go with Campus Crusade on spring break. And, and we'll go and I have the opportunity to minister to people, right? Great thing. And then all of a sudden, you'll never guess what happened. Not in a million years would this have happened. So I'm on the beach in Daytona, Florida, and I'm out there with some people and we're talking about the Lord and presenting the gospel and not like in your face, like, you know, but just getting to connect with people and opening their mind up of who God is. And as we're walking, there's partying going on all over, you know, spring break. So you know what happens. And as we're walking up, guess what? Boom. All of a sudden there's this group of guys that I recognized who were in some of my classes, in ministry classes, all sitting there partying like everybody else. And I was like, guys, what are you doing? That was one wake up call for me. This other one was a wake up call for me is we were in New York City. Jen had friends that she met and they were Catholic. And Catholics for many, many years have held to the Genesis story of creation as God has created the world. So we were with a Catholic couple and I know they love Jesus and I don't care if you're Catholic. I don't care if you're Methodist. I don't care if you don't go to church somewhere, but you're loving Jesus. Well, then let's connect. This guy, Catholic, went to Catholic church, went to confirmation, did all the stuff he's supposed to do. And we're sitting in this museum and it talks about evolution. And he said something to me about how, can you believe people actually believe that God created the world? I'm like, I looked at him. I said, are you kidding me? I said, you're Catholic. You've understood the scriptures. You have understood, just like the Jewish people have understood the creation of the world, of the voice and the power of God. God says, this is what God says. And he was like, well, no, I believe, what Darwin talked about was, and Darwin, he's so smart. This all came into existence in 1858. Oh, he's so smart, right? So he actually believed it. He believed of the evolution that God didn't have anything to do with it. And he looked at me and I said, no, man. I said, if you want to believe you came from a monkey, that's your deal. But what I see from the Bible, if I hold to this Bible as, I'm holding on to salvation. I believe that when I die, the Bible tells me Jesus Christ died for me, right? That's what the Bible tells me. If I can't believe that God created the world in 6 days, how in the world can I believe that Jesus Christ, when I die? Hey, praise God. You taping me, Gil. I hear God's voice. Power of God's voice. Oh, is that Cheryl? Gil? Okay. Power of God's voice. I think Gil's telling me, Jeff, time to end. But the power of God's voice, right? The power of God's voice. God said, if God said it, and God and scripture talks about God, we see it in the beginning, we see it in the Old Testament, we see it in the prophets, and we see it in the New Testament of the apostles' teaching that God has created the world in 6 days by what? By what he said. Just his voice. And he tells us he loves us, doesn't he? He tells us he loves us. God's voice says, Jeff, I love you. God's voice says, Esther, I love you. God's voice says, Gil, you're questionable because you had your phone on. No, he loves you too, Gil. He loves us. He loves us. And at the end of the day, if we can't hold to what scripture says, we're especially the church. At the end of the day, if the church can't hold to what the Bible says, man, we're in a bad spot. We're in a bad spot. So as we come to a close, the power of what God says, God said, God said six times, God said, to form some type of creation out of nothing. That's the power of our God, six times. And it's also interesting that six times, that's human number, not seven, six. The seventh was God's resting, but the sixth human number is God said and brought something out of nothing into existence. People do not hear that today. People are still hearing and they continuing to hear that God is non-existent or God is not powerful. We need to continue to remind people God is all powerful in his creation from everlasting to everlasting in the beginning and from his voice of what God speaks and what God says. And that power is given to us through his Spirit. And he wants us to continue to speak that, doesn't he? That's what he wants from us. As we close in prayer, we did this the other week and I want to do it again. The Lord's Prayer together. If you'll stand with me, we're going to and repeat after me the Lord's Prayer. Lord's Prayer is found in Matthew chapter 6, 9 through 13. And before we get there, if you have never accepted Christ as your Savior, that is why I serve God. I was saved by Jesus Christ. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ and talk to me afterwards, please. That's my prayer on that. The Lord's Prayer is, Our Father which art in heaven, repeat after me. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, help us to remember your power. Help us to remember the power of what you speak and the power of what you tell us in your word, and help us to tell others of your power, of your salvation and of your love and of your creation of all things. In your name we pray, amen.